ay, me llaman loco. A mí la gente, ay, porque vivo enamorado. A turo, turo, turo.
SBS Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say so hot right now.
¡Tan caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot right now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture with myself, Nicole Beck. And before we get started, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land from which we are broadcasting. I would also like to pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging of the Eora Nation. So today, as always, we have a very eclectic show. It's actually, I would say, particularly eclectic today. We're headed literally all over Sydney, talking about all different types of people and stories. We're going to be talking about the latest exhibition at Cement Fondue from Heath Franco. That is the gallery's first solo exhibition, I believe, entitled Valley. My producer Amelia caught up with Heath and together they talked all about his practice and what you can expect from that show. We're also headed over to Campbelltown Art Centre, talking about Marama Dina, which is a really, really interesting exhibition that was born out of a year-long process of research and engagement, which aimed to connect Indigenous Fijian women that are part of the diaspora with their cultural heritage through a series of workshops that's resulted in this beautiful exploration of cultural heritage and identity, which is showing at Campbelltown Art Centre. I'm chatting with MC Trey a little bit later on the show all about their commissioned work for the exhibition, which I'm very, very excited about. We're also talking about Ti Molamu, which is an independent play at the Belvoir, which explores colonization and climate change in the remote Pacific island of Tukulu. I'll be joined by some of the cast members who will tell us all about that show and their experiences of both colonization and climate change in that community. And first up, we are talking about Magnify Festival, which is hitting the streets of Blacktown, I believe, today and for the next 6 or 7 weeks, presenting a series of music, theatre and performance and installations, pretty much curating the whole region, colouring it with art thanks to Blacktown Art Centre. And I'll be joined by the performing arts curator of the Blacktown Art Centre, Maria Matar, just around the corner. To get us there, here is a track from Sydney's Rainbow Chan. This is off her first album, Spacings, one of my absolute favourites. This is Nest. You are tuned into So Hot right now.
You could only see me.
Join us at UTS Open Day on Saturday, August 31st, and discover what it's like to study at Australia's number one young university. Explore your future campus, learn more about our wide range of course options, and discuss how to manage your uni application. UTS Open Day, Saturday, August 31st. Register now at openday.uts.edu.au. 2SER sponsors.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. That there was a track from Rainbow Chan off her first album, Spacings. That was Nest. So, what does it mean to be home, and how can we connect to the familiar in brand new ways? Those questions of connection to space are just some of the ideas that Magnify Festival will be exploring over the next 7 weeks. Kicking off this weekend, thanks to Blacktown Arts Centre, Magnify Festival will be activating sites all across Blacktown and the wider Western Sydney region through a series of music, theatre and live performance installations. And right now I'm joined on the line with Maria Mitar, one of the producers who's making this celebration possible. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, everyone.
So, Magnify Festival kicks off this weekend and will be running until mid-September. What are the biggest moments that we can look forward to?
Well, today we've got a beautiful, intimate music concert with First Nations artist Ursula Jovic, embedded in the courtyard of the Holy Family Parish here at Emerton. I'm here right now setting up, actually. It's a beautiful sunny day. The kookaburras chirping in the background. She's created a new music work based on elders with interviews with local Aboriginal elders, and that'll be presented for the first time today. So we're all really excited about that, and we've been working deeply with the local Aboriginal community, the Barbane Aboriginal Corporation and Moogahlin Performing Arts to make that happen.
That sounds incredible. I was actually going to ask you about that particular work, but you've answered my question.
That starts at 3 o'clock today.
Wonderful. So alongside the celebrations, there are 8 new works with activations taking place in laneways and showgrounds and restaurants and nursing homes. Can you tell us a little bit more about who else is featured in those different activations?
Absolutely. Yeah. Next week we have an exhibition opening at the Blacktown Arts Centre called Amplified, and that involves 2 amazingly talented local brothers, the Aaron brothers, Ernest and Andrew Aaron, and they're collaborating on a multimedia, immersive, experimental music space, fusing experimental sound manipulation, sampling, digital photography and film, and they'll be activating that space with a live performance and artist talk on Saturday, the 10th of August, at Blacktown Arts. And following that, we have a beautiful storytelling experience with one of our African elders, Asefa Bekele. It's an evening of food, music and storytelling at a local Ethiopian restaurant in Blacktown. And he's been a leader helping some of the African community settle in our area. And he's a writer, but he's been working with an amazing director, Robert Coleman, to put together that special experience, which will be on the 16th and 17th of August in Blacktown. And another highlight for me is a pop-up short film festival by local artists in the Blacktown Showground. We've also got a new Spanish dance work in a Spanish-speaking nursing home courtyard in September, which closes the festival. And that's by artist Pepe Molina, who did a residency at the Spanish-speaking nursing home to talk to residents about memory and movement through flamenco. And she'll be creating a new work. And we're dressing up the courtyard and creating a bit of a Spanish fiesta. We're having paella, churros, and a lot of the Spanish-inspired cultural decorations as well.
There is a lot going on.
We're all so excited. But, it's been an amazing, amazing initiative. And we're really getting into the deep grassroots conversations, and the artists are working with these beautiful communities to activate these stories. So we're all really excited.
I'm really interested in the locations that you've used. So you've just mentioned there restaurants and nursing homes and laneways and a few other things. Mm-hmm. How did the location of the Blacktown region kind of inform your curatorial process?
My background is in performance curation. So I developed the programs at the Arts Centre for performance, and I was trying to reimagine what a contemporary performance program would look like in an area for Blacktown. I mean, there's so much arts and culture happening in the suburbs and in different neighbourhoods, on street corners with some people jamming on Sundays at the churches. You know, there's so much going on. And I thought, you know what, we can't always expect people to come to the institution and engage in arts and cultural practice. We sometimes have to work with artists and communities where they're based and work on, you know, in spaces that have meaning for them. So that's how Magnify was originally dreamed up. And, yeah, everyone's just been so excited to get on board.
And you mentioned as well that artists are directly interacting and activating spaces in the community and working collaboratively with members of the community. Yeah. How did that process come about? And that was, were people very willing to engage?
Yes, like the Blacktown Arts Centre has a really long-standing partnership and relationship with its local diverse communities. We've done a lot of programming throughout many years. So that was our foundation that we built from. So we've worked with Asefa Bekela, who's the Ethiopian playwright, 5 years ago in an emerging African storytelling circle. So we were able to build on that community. And he knows the owner of the Ethiopian restaurant on Main Street, who was so happy to jump on board for this project. And another project, The Good Woman, which is an emerging Afghan woman writing her first play, has worked with the Arts Centre a year ago on another project. So we planted all these seeds and these relationships a long time ago. It was a great opportunity to build on that to create this festival.
So central to Magnify seems to be a very strong connection to community engagement. How are you hoping people from the community engage with the huge variety of works on display for the festival?
I would really like to see different community groups travel to see other events as well as part of the festival and step into something that might be a bit unfamiliar. So as well as you might be an Afghan young woman seeing The Good Woman, the new play, but you might also be inspired to then go see the short film festival, Blacktown Shorts, at the showground with your family and bring a picnic. Or you might be interested in hearing an African elder to talk about his stories and what's happening in contemporary African Australia. So that, I think, was another big inspiration for developing Magnify. We're hoping our audiences will be interested in experiencing a range of stories.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like an incredible project, and I hope that it goes wonderfully over the next 7 weeks.
Thank you so much for your support. And if anyone is interested in booking a ticket, they just jump onto the Blacktown Arts Centre blog page.
Yes, well, I'll give you all the details just in a moment. Oh, thank you so much for joining me, Maria.
Thanks for having us.
No worries.
Have a great day.
So that was Maria. She's one of the producers who has been a huge part of Magnify Festival. And as I mentioned, it's all going down this weekend. It starts this weekend. And there's that event taking place at 3 p.m. that Maria was just is setting up for now. I think it's entitled Memory. And you can find all the tickets online. We'll put the links up on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website. You'll get direct links to all tickets that you could possibly need there. And right around the corner, we're talking about our friends at Cement Fondue, who have a brand new exhibition opening up next week. So stick around to hear from performance artists usually known for making videos, who's giving his creative practice a big shake-up. To get us there, I'm going to play a track from Sydney-based artist Poolroom. This is off his latest EP, Precious Boy. This is Growing Pains. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Stories, ideas, music, 2SER 107.3.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. If you didn't get to listen to my last chat, I just spoke with Maria, who was one of the producers of Magnify Festival, which is taking over Blacktown for the next 7 weeks. There is really a truly incredibly eclectic lineup of different stories and ideas you can hear there. And we'll put all the relevant details up on our show page so you can find out everything you could possibly need up there. And right now I am talking about Heath Franco, who is an Australian performance artist, usually known for his wild and often psychotropic videos that put a massive focus on costume work and characters. But his upcoming show at Cement Fondue might be very well a departure from that. Instead, his latest show, Valley, seeks to invite audiences through immersive installations and soundscapes to explore the effect of popular culture, notions of loss and contemplations on space-time. Our producer, Amelia, spoke with Heath to find out more about the exhibition.
You originally started your practice as a painter, but now, for people who aren't familiar with your work, you create these like psychotropic videos that kind of incorporate a lot of costume work.
Yeah. The only work people would know probably from me is the video work. I studied painting at university, but I never really exhibited any of that stuff. I always found it really hard to stick with the single image. So I'd ruin every painting because I could never be satisfied with one still picture. But yeah, for the last 10 years or so, I've been making videos as the primary medium that I work in. They will also include, will be part of installations at times as well. But it was always video was the number one thing, my main focus. In the last year also, I've kind of become a little more interested in the installation side of things. I've really enjoyed moving away from the computer and becoming more physical with the work I do in the studio and just being able to have my hands on materials.
Yeah. And your solo show, Valley, it does kind of have this strong focus on set design and space. So a lot of your work in the past has put this big emphasis on costume. How will that look in the gallery space?
Yeah. The difference with this exhibition to begin with is it has no videos in it at all, but it still follows on from my video practice. And by that, I mean things that I've used in the videos to make the videos will be present in the gallery. And also, I don't mean at all that it's a show of memorabilia or anything like that.
Because pop culture does play like a big role in a lot of your pieces too. So will Definitely. There be some of that in the show, or is it a departure?
I think it's like a departure, but that pop culture reference is like, I can't escape that. Like, that's my interest. So it'll still come through, I think. All the costumes, all the green screens as well, and a few props, what I could gather up. They'll be in the gallery in a giant heap. They'll be in this huge sort of cone-shaped pile, which is sort of there as, like, in a way, it's like a funeral pyre sort of thing. I feel it's time for me to kind of move forward a little bit from what I was doing before, try something different. I want some time away from that work. I think there's more sides to me than a crazy guy with a costume.
A lot of your work does have this focus on creating characters and costumes, and I can imagine that to some extent maybe there might be some confusion as to whether that's attached to you as an identity or as a person. So moving into a space is a really freeing way to explore that.
For sure. And where if people are watching, a single channel video, I have this thing I repeatedly do that you sort of zoom through into different zones, different spaces of dimensions. And so by offering the audience a space that they can pass through, that's sort of what we try to do with this show. So it's almost like, if you can imagine, it's like the video, but it's a physical space. walking through. In this case, I'm not there. My characters aren't there, right, visually. Remnants of them are, like, the things that make them, their clothing, their props, and their sounds are there, but the actual a moving figure, the video, is not there. I won't be there performing or anything like that. So hopefully, in a sense, the people who visit the exhibition, they might think maybe they're in the video. People that know my stuff will notice the absence of video, which is really important for me in this exhibition.
You talk sometimes about this idea of being an outsider in a lot of your work. Does isolation or like this feeling of being an outsider come into play within this particular show at all?
I think it's something that emanates everything I do again, because that's kind of how I feel. I have lots of great friends and everything like that, don't get me wrong. But I guess in my formative years as a child and teenager, I could tell like a bit of a weirdo compared to other people, you know, as you like discovering your thoughts about life and everything like that. It forms, you know, how you kind of feel for the rest of your life in some ways. More so, this would be about the struggle of moving from something in the past and coming up with something new that you're happy with. In some ways, this artwork is about trying to do art and having trouble. I'm still hesitant to completely destroy everything from the past and, you know, start afresh. It's actually not quite possible for me to do that.
It doesn't feel like a clean break from the way that you're describing it.
It's not.
Whatsoever.
No. It's, the only difference is there's no video, really. And the installation is really the absolute main thing. Like, there's nothing. There's sound, but it's all in collaboration, in support of the installation.
Absurdity and, like, repetition feature in a lot of your works, and focusing on set design and all these pre-production elements. Is there going to be like a lot of repetition in these works as well?
Yep. So the repetition's still very much there. Like the audio tracks that we'll be playing are the sound from the videos. Well, there's in this pile of junk, this pile of costumes and shit, there's also a sound pile that emanates from that, which is a stack of all the sound files from all videos that are shot in studio, unedited, just like the costumes unedited, just as they are stacked up. It just sounds like a kind of a cacophony, a crowd of crazy idiots chattering, but that repetition's still there within that. And then in this little tunnel space that you walk through, which will be, how do I say, like dressed in carpet, which was the last sort of main show I did last year in a solo show, figure won't be visible, but their speech will be there. And again, it's repeated, one line repeated over and over again. That's something I've been stuck on from the start, and still am. And even the structure itself has repeated form over and over and over again in a circular pattern. Yeah, no, I can't get past that yet.
It's super cyclical. I like that rhythm and flow that you can create with repetition. And you also talk about this idea of hidden realities that play within your work.
Well, that's just like I love to imagine what little worlds can exist in inanimate surfaces and objects, which is where, for instance, this carpet one I was talking about, this character or whatever, is just my imagination of what the carpet, if it was alive and if something lived down in there and it was human-like, what would it act like? What would it say? And in this case, it says, I'm not doing anything, in a few different modes. So that's what I also like to do, is present a few different ways of the same line. But I guess, yeah, it's just my own imagination. A lot of people interested in this sort of thing. I played a lot of video games when I was a kid, you know, finding the secret level, or like going through the wall, stuff like into a space that maybe the programmer didn't want you to go into when they designed the game. Hidden doorways and castles and shit
like
that.
Like where the game breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, all kinds of stuff. Like I've only seen a couple of times, but being John Malkovich, where they have the floor that's like halfway between the two other floors. I guess I'm just still a kid and that kind of stuff is fun to think about. And I suppose it's easier to cope with a fake world that you invent than the real crazy world that's like so difficult.
That there was mixed media artist Heath Franco chatting to my wonderful producer Amelia, all about his new solo show, Valley, which is showing at Cement Fondue from today until the end of September. Cement Fondue, if you haven't been, is located at 36 Gospel Street in Paddington. And for more info and just any relevant details, head to our show page. If you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website, we'll put everything up there. And now stay with us, because up next we are talking about Mamara Dinner, which is an exhibition generated by a year-long research and engagement project at Campbelltown Arts Centre. This has resulted in 10 newly commissioned works that explore female Indigenous Fijians, specifically Itaku identities. I will be joined by artist MC Trey right around the corner, so don't go anywhere. And to get us there, here is a track from American artists. This is Luke Temple's latest one. This is Empty Promises. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Explore the increasing convergence of art and science at UTS Art's new exhibition, Spectra, The Art and Consequence of Collaboration. A Eight Australian artists have collaborated with scientists and scientific institutions from around the world, including Mawson Station in Antarctica and Switzerland's CERN, famous for its Large Hadron Collider. Head to art.uts.edu.au for more info. UTS Art, where creativity and technology meet, sponsors 2SER.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture with myself, Nicole Beck. Right now I'm talking about the Vega Project, which aims to reconnect Indigenous Fijian women, specifically Itoke women, with traditional cultural practices. In fulfilling these aims, the project developed 8 workshops over a 12-month period, fostering intergenerational engagement. This all started at Campbelltown Arts Centre in 2018. 1 year on, we are presented with Marama Dina, an exhibition born out of this research and engagement. Marama Dina sees Itoke women take over Campbelltown Arts Centre, sharing their exploration of cultural rejuvenation and celebration with the wider community. I'm joined this morning by hip-hop and soul musician MC Trey, who is one of the featured artists in the exhibition, to tell us more about the project. Good morning.
Good morning. That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
It was. I was just talking to MC Trey about how this exhibition has so much involved, which is why it's so amazing, but there's a lot to unpack. So the exhibition was born out of a really interesting process of workshops and research. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Vega Project and your involvement?
I came in a bit late in the piece, but it's been running for over 12 months. And there were two artists, Danita Hume and Dulce Stewart, that were doing a lot of research here and visiting museum spaces and looking at the objects and, you know, the artifacts that exist around tattooing, women's tattooing in Fiji, which is Vangia. And then from there, they worked with a few other artists from Aotearoa in New Zealand, and they also visited Fiji. So this is, and then they came back and they presented workshops here in Western Sydney, working with, you know, Fijian young women in all ages that were interested to learn more about their cultural heritage. And then from that, you know, they thought, okay, maybe we need to do a public showing, you know, to show what we've learnt and what we've gathered, but also to provide a space for Fijian artists to share their work as well, and mainly all female or female identifying, but most of us live outside of Fiji.
And so thinking about the work that you've presented in this exhibition, I'm really interested because I know that it involves a collaboration with your daughter Lyric. Can you tell us a bit about your process?
Yes, well, my daughter Lyric's more of a dancer, and, you know, she's very interested in her cultural heritage, which is Fiji and Samoan and Cook Island, but born here in Sydney. So, you know, she's on that journey, and mine has been more of the oratory and more the emceeing through hip-hop, you know, writing lyrics. So we went back to Fiji recently and, you know, did some more research on what she was interested in, you know, in learning Fijian dance and for myself, the oratory tradition. So we didn't come out with exactly what we thought we would. You know, it never happens like that. We usually with cultural exploration, you usually just get given what you're supposed to learn at that time, I've found. So with the works that we produced, it's more based around, you know, my journey with elements of hers as well throughout the piece. And it's a mix of music and multimedia and, you know, touching a bit on my graffiti background as well.
So as you kind of alluded to there, your artistic background is mostly in hip hop and soul music. How is this observed in the work that you've created for this exhibition?
Well, basically, I've been writing about my journey through hip hop, but also through trying to find more about my cultural identity as a Fijian Australian woman, you know, that was born in Fiji but has spent most of my life here in Sydney. So I've written a lot about that through hip hop music. So I'll be sharing some of those lyrics, but also some of the visuals that accompany that, and that will be through video.
And in creating this work, you kind of interacted with lots of different community members. I've read costume makers and musicians and dancers as well. What did you learn through those interviewing processes and through the people you've met?
Well, I've been doing that for quite a while, and I guess I just find that it's very interesting to hear people's stories as well, because, you know, there's a bit of a movement with Indigenous cultures all around the world, and we're all trying to discover, you know, actually, well, more reconnect and rediscover, you know, elements of our cultural heritage, and just, you know, learning about how different people are doing that, whether it's through the costume making or through their music, through video. Some are going back and utilizing traditional forms of expression, you know, through weaving, where others are learning this information and but choosing to use, you know, new avenues of storytelling through multimedia. So this exhibition will bring in a lot of those elements. You know, we've got a lady that's working on traditional bark cloth, you know, which is worn by most specific people, and which is an important part of our traditional ceremonies. So she's presenting some of her bark cloths. And then we've got other artists that are just doing mainly all video installation, you know, so it's going to be quite an interesting array of presentations. And just thinking about it now, just like, it's going to be so amazing, you know, because I've been so, you know, focused on my piece, but I can't wait to step back and look at the whole space, you know. And we've been given the whole exhibition. There's a space also with some local weavers, you know, which is important for us to pay respects to First Nations of the area that we're in. So it's going to be, you know, quite an interesting display.
There's a huge amount of mediums present there.
It is.
What do you think your work will kind of bring to that group exhibition? Your work is primarily video?
Yeah, video and music, and also just utilising some of the lyrics from the songs and, you know, presenting that. It'll have to be a surprise the way that's presented. I won't share too much about that. But my story's a bit different because I've come through hip-hop, and even though I was born in Fiji, I've been heavily involved with the Australian hip-hop scene for close to 20 years now. And so I bring in that urban kind of street element. But over the years, I've been travelling back to Fiji a lot to reconnect with my Indigenous culture. So that's the journey that I'll be sharing and the different worlds that I've brought together to present. So it will relate to young people, but it'll also relate to elders as well. And I'm hoping that'll help bridge the conversations between generations.
And also present at Marama Dinner is a Val Nisongo.
Vale Nisongo, yeah.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about what that entails?
That's a meeting house that's been built in the exhibition space. And, you know, when you go to different villages, you know, whether it's in Fiji or all around the world, there's always a space where the community gathers, where the meetings happen, you know, where a lot of the important ceremonies take place. So that's being built in the centre, and that's an opportunity for community to come in, or everyone, you know, to come in and experience some of the ceremony that will take place in there, like a kava ceremony, but also spaces for young women to come in and talk about how, you know, they're working through telling their stories through media and other art forms.
So central to this exhibition, I'm getting the sense that communication is quite important. Is that something that you're kind of hoping will come out of Marama Dinner?
Yes, communication and sharing of stories and information and, you know, ultimately more understanding of each other.
I'm interested in, so you're featured, your work is featured alongside a lot of other artists from the same region. How did you collaborate at all through the process, or did you have kind of similar journeys of discovering things about your own cultural heritage?
I think we're all at different points of our journey, and I've met most of the artists except one, and we've met throughout our journeys over the last year, you know, with this exhibition but other exhibitions as well. And in terms of collaborating, like, we've had Talanoa where we sit and just talk about, you know, what we're working on, and we have online discussions as well. So in terms of collaborating in the piece, I haven't collaborated with anyone, but it's more in the sharing of the stories and the ideas.
So just one last question. It might be a bit hard, or probably not, but yeah. So the exhibition ultimately attempts to reconnect to Tauke women with traditional cultural practices. How has your relationship with your own cultural heritage transformed and changed throughout the year-long process of this exhibition?
I found that it's strengthened my sense of identity. You know, I migrated here when I was 13, so I did go through a lot of settlement issues and identity stuff, you know, as a teenager. But, you know, being involved in this project and through the workshops provided a space for myself and other like-minded women to come and feel comfortable about asking the questions, you know, because sometimes, because we've grown up outside of Fiji, you know, a lot of the times we're a bit, I feel embarrassed sometimes to ask about language or what things mean. So spaces like this help encourage us to have these discussions, you know, and to be able to share and strengthen our identity.
Beautifully said. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning, MC Trey.
Thank you for having me.
So I've just been speaking with MC Trey, who is featured in Campbelltown Arts Centre's Marama Dinner. This show opens on the 17th of August and you can catch the artist talks the following day from 11 a.m. And the show will be running at the centre until the 13th of October. And to get you a little bit hyped, I suppose, for the show, I'm playing MC Trey's latest track, which is, she just told me, is the first time it's ever being played on Australian radio. So I've beat the hip hop shows. This is Getaway featuring Servo 2. You are tuned into So Hot right now.
Have you ever seen a traditional Japanese kite? Bring out your inner child with the colourful, intricate kites at Edo in the Sky, an exhibition featuring 32 traditional Japanese kites handcrafted by internationally known kite master Mikio Toki. On display from July 10 to October 12 at the Japan Foundation, Sydney. Visit jpf.org.au for more details. The Japan Foundation, Sydney, sponsors 2SER.
Hello and welcome back to 2SER's Arts and Culture Show, So Hot Right Now, with myself, Nicole Beck. We've got just about 12 minutes left on the show and we have no time to waste, because right now we are talking about Te Molima, which is a universal tale of home, loss and intergenerational storytelling, showing at the Belvoir Street Theatre this August as part of 25A program. Te Molima is about the blessing and curse of being the last surviving woman of the remote Pacific nation, Tokelau. So I am joined by two of the performers of the project. This is Tommy and Aya, here to tell us a little bit more. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
No worries. So could you start just by giving us a little bit of an overview about what the story is about and what Te Molima actually means?
Yeah. So Te Molima is set in the future. It's set in 2060, and it's set in Tokelau, which is a small island, Pacific island nation, and it's about sort of the effects of climate change in the future, and the last remaining people on the island,
being climate refugees, really.
Yeah,
and having the sea levels are rising, and what happens when their land disappears. So.
Yeah, and that migration of moving to new countries, and what does that mean then when you do become, like climate crisis refugees and having to carry a culture in a new country.
And can you tell us about your kind of personal connection to this story, if you have one?
Yeah.
For me, I'm from the Torres Strait Islands, and living on a small cluster of islands, we are the first people that see the sea levels rise, and we can truly see the devastation of, high sea levels, as well as hurricanes and different weathers coming through. So being another not really well-known island, I'm super connected because I have a lot of family still on the islands, and I feel like we forget to talk about it, and we don't realise that there's a whole nation of people that truly get affected when we're on such a huge island here and we don't really see the devastation happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and the entire cast directing team is Pacifica, and so we're all really closely connected to the story, because we all have families still living in the islands, and we sort of, through this process, been sharing our own stories of how we're connected to climate change. And it's scary how close to home it is for all of us.
Mm.
And that also is sort of like a strong bond between the entire cast and crew, is that we have this understanding, sort of deeper understanding of all being of the diaspora and being away from our homelands, but still having these strong connections to home, and sort of this complicated space that we exist in, where it's hard to know and hard to navigate what you can do from Australia or New Zealand or wherever you've ended up in the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before coming together and collaborating on this project, were you aware of kind of the extent to which your experiences of climate change and your kind of fears and worries about your homeland were kind of shared by everyone else? Was that kind of like known, or did you discover that through kind of coming together?
Always known, definitely always known. I guess it's the difference between how often do you think of it and if it's at the forefront of your mind or not. But when we're talking about it and we're living in it and we're having this, beautiful play, you can't stop thinking about it, and you realise that we are truly lucky in a sense. But just because it happens to small islands doesn't mean it's not going to happen to a larger island, I think it kind of triggers the thought process of what is the action we need to do to prevent this? Is it preventable, or are we just moving too fast as a country/world?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what sort of added to that was through these stories of talking about our family's experiences, we found within like a big number of the cast and crew, we've found that there's actual family connections and relations, which is beautiful. I'm Samoan, and some of the other cast and crew, and the writer is Samoan and Tokelauan. And we found, you know, connections between the Tokelauans and the Samoans, and also then like Aya and I know each other and sort of know each other's families and crews and stuff. So we're all connected. Like islanders, it's travels, just, you know, we just sort of think back to when our ancestors were seafaring across the Pacific and jumping off, saying g'day.
Yeah. So in exploring kind of the climate crisis and how that's affecting all your different communities, the play is set kind of between Western Sydney and Tokelau. Mm-hmm. So can you just tell us a little bit more about why it's got kind of two different locations and how that informs the narrative?
Well, I think it's because this is based on the new, the airport that's being built in Western Sydney. So the airport will be ready and waiting once the final refugees come through, and we've kind of set up a community so they can everyone can stay together and they can feel safe in their, with their own company. So Western Sydney, I think it's one of those things where it's just like a large location where we can, you know, set up all the comforts that we could possibly give people that are losing their lands.
And also island communities, a lot of Pacific Island communities within Sydney live out in the western suburbs, in specifically around sort of Mount Druitt area. I have family out there myself. Some of our cast live out that way. So yeah, there is that strong connection of communities and islanders and anyone from sort of like diasporic communities, and where you do, when you are leaving your homeland and you move and migrate to another country, these areas that then sort of become, you know, new homelands, and how that then informs the culture within that specific area within that country. So out in Mount Druitt, like, you know, you go out there to get a good feed, and you go out there if you're an islander to get stuff, you know, food, or whether it be like material, anything, oils, you know, coconut oil, lather the skin.
Yeah,
lavender is the best.
Just even different foods like taro, like you can't even find it in certain places. So there's big communities.
And also just sort of on that really quickly as well, just in the future, Western Sydney is the future, I think. And I think that that's where it's heading, and that's where so much of arts and culture is thriving in Western Sydney. And so it's sort of like hoping for the future that we aren't all just existing within right in, you know, 10Ks of the city and trying to bring everyone into the city. It's like we have the whole of Greater Sydney where a lot of art and beautiful stuff is going on. Yeah.
Three quarters of our show is based in Western Sydney today.
Yeah, great.
It's totally just thriving.
All the good stuff's going on there, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So Te Moli Mau is obviously concerned with the climate crisis. Is it kind of, does it present a bleakish sort of situation, or is there a sense of hope that kind of informs the story at all? It's a hard one.
I think the sense of hope is that the culture will never be lost, regardless of what happens to physical land. The sense of hope is that as long as we kind of stay together and we keep culture alive with any other culture as well, that we can still thrive.
Yeah. Yeah, and also a sense of, I guess, like my character in particular and Aya's character, May, are really quite struggling with identity. And so within the play, they find their own connections to identity through different ways. I suppose like being outside of growing up within Australia ourselves as well, it can be hard being away from your mother, from the motherland. But I guess there's a really beautiful through line for both of our characters of like finding strong sense in self and identity outside of the islands. Yeah.
And it's never lost. It's always within you.
Yeah. It's always there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's also something that we've all really learnt together collectively as a cast and crew is there's so much in us that from like childhood and from our parents that we learnt that just sort of like once we're all together, it's like it all comes back and all the singing comes back and the dancing comes back and it's,
Yeah.
So it's been a great reminder for ourselves within our personal lives to be like, don't forget the culture.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. It was wonderful to hear everything you had to say.
Thank you for having us.
No worries. So that was Tommy and Aya, who are in the upcoming play Tell Molly Ma, which is at the Belvoir Street Theatre, showing from August 7th to the 24th. And if you're interested in getting tickets or looking for any more details about the show, we'll put all the relevant links to everything up on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website. And unfortunately, it is about the end of the show, so if you miss anything, you can find it all on the website there or look for us on Instagram, So Hot Right Now, 107.3, I think, and Facebook as well. And until next week, I'm going to play one last song. This is You Sure Do, the Strike 7 mix. And thank you for listening. You have been listening to So Hot Right Now.
You sure do. Come on, baby.